It's Tuesday, April 26, 2016, and you're listening to episode 397 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 43 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Brodor.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
What the fuck? We did the nipple blade
big
check
announcement
because you now you just change your voice file.
Oh my god!
Just say nipple blades.
Nipple blades.
How's that?
Right. Nipple blades.
So I had something I was supposed to tell everyone.
Nipple blades,
and it was not related to nipple blades. And I don't, for the life of me, remember what the hell it was. I should have written it down, but I didn't. So
tough.
If I told somebody I was going to say something on this show or help them promote something, I apologize. I don't recall.
You make fun of Chris for being old. I mean, come on.
Well,
Chris, I would understand him for getting shit like this, but you know, you.
What magic item slot does the nipple blade take?
Chest armor?
No, it has to be a
I think we have
brooch.
A consensus.
Actually, no, I think that would be.
It would be the brooch or amulet slot.
Or, that would be. Yeah. That's all the armor I want to see on my female character.
In classic fantasy art, a nipple blade on a female character would be a nipple blade, and it would be AC 10 or whatever. And on a man, a nipple blade would be AC 10, but it would be this gigantic, like, Spanish conquistador breastplate.
Thank you, Chad. You actually just made me remember what it was.
Way to go. So, up high. Up high.
I think that's an assist from Chad, but the goal is nipple blades.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see that one.
So let me tell you how I got there, and then I'll give the announcement.
All right, settle in, folks. Here we go.
So I was sitting here thinking about how am I going to have to rate or bleep, or do I need to put a warning around this discussion about nipple blades?
Right.
And in thinking about that,
you should be used to that by now. Anytime I'm on an episode, you should be in the game, in the mindset of,
right,
okay, Pat's on, I have to do some heavy fucking editing.
But thinking about editing specifically for rating reminded me that I had to do some rating work to get us listed on Google Play Podcasts.
Oh.
That's the announcement. So if you don't like iTunes, but
I don't,
you have an Android phone, whatever,
I do.
Google Play has now added a section for podcasts, and our podcast is in that list. So if you would like to pick up Fear the Boot through the Google Play Store, you can now do that. I will put a link to it in the show notes. And
aren't we on like a bunch of stuff? Like
we are.
SoundCloud,
if, yes.
Blueberry, Burberry or whatever.
In fact, if you look in the upper right-hand corner of our website, not on a mobile browser, but the full site, there's a list of icons up there that will help you find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Twitch, Google Play, iTunes, it's all up there. But Google Play is now the latest thing we've been added to. So I'll put a link to that directly in the show notes. If you're listening to this at some point where the show notes has scrolled off the front page, just look in the upper right-hand corner of the full version of the website, and you will see a link to Fear the Boot in the Google Play Store. So, Pat, you've contributed to the show. You can either go foul or go to sleep or whatever it is you need to do.
Well, the sad thing is that, you know, the fandom has this perception that I just come on the air and I sit here and I don't ever say anything. The truth of the matter is I am talking almost nonstop during an episode. The problem is you bleep every fucking thing. You don't even bleep it. You just cut it all out. So all of my content, boom, it's gone.
I do not cut your content out. That does happen to Chris.
And all is Justin right in the world.
Yes. In fact, there's a sweet justice in the fact that the crossover show we just released, Chris edited it because I told him I didn't want to deal with a three-ended conversation because it's going to be this editing nightmare. So Chris agreed to edit it. And he just posted an apology for how difficult he is to edit. It's like, thank you, Chris. You have finally acknowledged something I've known for 9 years. But anywho, all right, so the topic for today, there's a concept that actually has popped up within our gaming group a few times, and it's occurred enough that I think we want to move it from having just mentioned it in passing to actually discussing it. And the topic is having a smaller game that is related to and exists within a larger campaign. Now, one
Totally separate yet related
games. Yes, separate but related games. Now, where this first popped up was with you guys and your Dresden game, because you had the main Dresden game, which was more serious and all your deep characters. But when you had off weeks, you would tell stories in the same continuity, but they were a little bit more cheesy.
Oh, it was a comedy game. Yeah, it was absolutely a comedy
and
game.
And it used different characters, different player characters.
Yes.
And it was done using the Inspector system,
which is a comedy system.
Yeah, which is a comedy system.
Yeah.
But followed the general continuity and world
events. It was
events.
Set in the same city.
Exactly.
Same time period, same events.
And Chad, you are now talking about doing this again with Blades in the Dark. Tell us about that, and then I've got a bunch of things I want to say on this topic.
I'll just do the Blades in the Dark part. You can ask me all kind of questions, because we haven't done it yet in Blades, but we did it a lot in our Dresden game, and it worked phenomenally well. So Blades in the Dark, pretty serious game. I mean, it's a game of swashbuckling and high adventure, and we do, just because it's us, we do do some silly stuff here, but there's been some serious gut punches in the game, in the plot and such. There's been times where I've, like, thrown things at the guys, and they're just like, oh, yeah, we're doing it, we're taking it, and then they just stop, like, wow, my jaw has hit the floor, and you have just really tugged at my heartstrings, like, with your girlfriend and the military aspect of it. I played on that. I played on Wayne's character. There was a ghost of a little girl whose father died, that one of the other gang members, one of the other strays, killed her father, but she was a ghost and she's been dead for 6 years, and she's really, really happy because she gets to meet her father again, because he's going to become a ghost, and she's begging Wayne not to destroy the body, because if you destroy the body in this magical universe, destroy the body, then there's no ghost. You annihilate the ghost. But if you leave the body for 3 days, the ghost comes. And she's like trying to get him to not do that. And it was like, really, normally you'd just be like, no, we have to destroy this body now because ghosts are really dangerous. And then Wayne's like, what am I going to do here? This is really hard thing you're throwing at me. But anyway, like I said, so it's pretty serious. But there are occasion, especially this past month, where not all the players can make it. Two of our players have been sick. One has bronchitis, one got over a cold, and then when they were ready to come back, they got another cold, and it's just been really, really rough on them. But it turns out that we haven't been able to play for 4 weeks. So we were kind of throwing around this idea a couple of months ago about, hey, you know, remember in Dresden where we had this side game where it was all comedy and stuff, and it was set in the same thing? Why don't we do this here, but with a different gang? And it's like, my idea is that there's all these gangs are all real serious and stuff, but there's another gang that we made called the Eels. Now, in John Harper's Blades in the Dark, the Eels are a low-level street gang that does smuggling or something like that. But we change them in our game. They're street urchins. They're kids. So this gang goes around, their pickpockets and couriers and stuff like that. They kind of work for the other gangs on occasion, and the gangs, when you get to be too old, like 13, 14 years old, they kick you out of the gang. You're too old.
It's like Menudo.
Right. Yeah. Menudo. Old.
I was going to go for something a little bit more recent and say it reminds me of Little Lamplight from Fallout 3.
Right. And so the other gangs use them as like a farm league too. So it's like the ones that get too old, they kind of like get absorbed into the other gangs, or God forbid, take up an honest day's work. So I was like, why don't we do a comedy game set in the city, in the game, with all the events and everything that's going on, only everybody plays kids. We're all Eels.
Right.
We're all like eight. And it's a comedy where we don't like kill people, murder people. We're like cut purses and stuff.
You said you had a rule.
I have a lot of ground rules.
Okay, so do you have a whole lot of ground rules? Because if so, I want to take a moment to talk about why I like this idea before we start fleshing it out.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So one of the things that we have noticed historically within the groups that I've been a part of is 2 weeks seems to be our magic number. If we have a game and miss two consecutive weeks, there is a very good chance that game will die. Now, I know this is going to vary from group to group. Some people may only game once a month or once every 6 months. Well, yeah, we've had people write in talking about how they game once a year, and yet they still have a campaign going on. And that's something else I want to emphasize, is what we're talking about here is a campaign that has a lot of detail, a lot of character development, a lot going on in the plot. So there's a lot of things you need to be up on. It's not like an episodic TV show or something kind of low key, where if you put it down for 3 months and forget everything, it's no big deal. This is something where if you put it down and lose your train of thought, you lose your place. When you pick it back up, you're going to have no idea what's going on. This happens to me with video games all the time. If I put down a really involved video game for too long, I have to start it over because I don't remember what the hell I was doing, who the characters were, what was going on. And so we've noticed within our group that 2 weeks is that magic threshold. You miss two games in a row and people's minds are starting to wander. They see the new shiny.
Well, I think more than anything else is that our groups historically, we talk role-playing games. When we get together, we talk about role-playing games because we like role-playing games. So we're always talking about the new game. So our biggest threat is we're playing a game, but we're talking about another game.
Yeah, we talk ourselves out of the game we're playing.
So, you know, we missed 2 weeks. Yeah, you're exactly right. 2 weeks now, it's like, oh, you know, we're talking about this other game. We haven't played this one in 2 weeks.
So for the main game, you need all your people present and on task and whatever to make it work. And so what happens in these off weeks that might, especially if they go on for a while because of things like back-to-back illnesses or other things you can't control, might kill the game, I think there's a great opportunity in taking that same setting, those same general characters at the world level. I don't mean the same player characters. Maybe the player characters are there in the background.
Yeah.
They're mentioned in passing. But it's these little things that just sort of keep it fresh on your mind. It keeps it from being dumped out
of the momentum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the momentum, it's keeps you from dumping the recycle bin in your brain. You still have those ideas, but you intentionally pick a game that's lower on the requirements.
Well,
it doesn't matter if everybody's present. It doesn't matter how serious it is. It doesn't have a deep continuity.
From the game master's perspective, it's very important, I feel, for it to be low to no prep. Inspectors is a no prep game because it's a, well, somebody tells me, well, I want to do this. Okay, you roll some dice and then the game master looks at him and you ask the player, okay, what happens? You tell me what is going on.
And I think it makes sense to have it that way because if you're doing this in your downtime, obviously something's already gone wrong.
Right.
And maybe what's wrong is the player's out with sickness. Maybe what's wrong is the game master is not feeling it. And so the game master needs something lower key they can run or even something they can push off to somebody else to run simply to keep the idea alive.
So are we talking about someone else's game mastering or you're running Blades in the Dark and then you say, okay, guys, we're taking a break from the main Blades in the Dark story. Now we're going to run an Eels game and I'm going to game master that using, or is Wayne just going to jump in and he's going to game master Inspectors and you're going to play one of the Eels?
It, you know, I think as advice, it varies from group to group because,
and it could be either.
Most people I've talked to, now this is totally unscientific here, most groups tend to only have one game master. So, I mean, that's going to kind of answer that question. Our group is blessed with 3.5 game masters because Dawn thinks she can't, but she runs awesome games and we're really trying to get her to run one. In our Dresden game, Wayne ran the Dresden game because he is like this game mastering savant, right? And I gave the Golden Goose example a while back. The whole reason we started that was not because people weren't showing up, but because this was the greatest game we had ever played, and it was the Wayne was the Golden Goose, and we needed to treat him very lightly so he didn't disrupt his flow. Wayne mentioned, probably like he does very casually, offhanded way, it's like, man, I'd really like to play a game. I've been running this for a while. And then so I was like, oh my God, we have to do something because he's going to want to start playing and he's going to want to stop running the game that we love. So I came up with this idea. It's like, why don't I run a game? But we'll still do it in Dresden and we'll do it in St. Louis because we were running our Dresden game in St. Louis. From there, I think Beth ran a game and I ran a game. I think Wayne might have even ran a game of the sub. And we didn't, I don't think we had a name for it, but the sort of sub comedy game.
Yeah, and this is something that you can see not only in role-playing games, but it's already going on with TV shows.
Yeah.
Where when they're between seasons or even in the season, but just between episodes, mm-hmm. they'll have a podcast with the people that are on the show. The Talking yeah. Dead is probably mm-hmm. the most obvious example. Battlestar Galactica did the same thing. I don't remember the yeah. name of that show, but they had a little web series going mm-hmm. that was between seasons or between episodes. Just to keep the ideas, yeah. keep the continuity alive in the mind of the audience so they didn't lose their place. They didn't lose their interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad, what are some of the ground rules that you have when you do this? Because you said you had yes. some. And
well, I came up with this idea because I was so afraid of Wayne saying, well, I'm just burnt out, guys. I really want to play a game and to stop running Dresden. I mean, that was the goal. Dresden keeps going. That is the design feature of this whole game. So I made some ground rules of A, the current game master doesn't run it, or at least at first somebody else runs it, so that way the game master can get a chance to play and that they can get out there. The second thing is that it has to take place in not just the same universe, right? It has to take place in the game we're playing. So everything is connected because we have to keep the momentum going.
Right.
So all the events that the players are dealing with, these big earth-shattering events, are happening around the sub-game.
Right, because so, if you have your Dresden game in St. Louis, and it focuses heavily on the culture and the landmarks right. of St. Louis, and then you have a side inspectors game in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah, you're not going to keep your place. You're not going to have those little bits of memory yeah. jogging.
Well, and if like a big demon comes up and swallows the Gateway Arch, well, that I wanted to have happening in the background. So there's an anime. Oh God, I forget what it's called, but it's this anime about these two alien girls who come to Earth and, one of them is like Superman's daughter, but it's kind of in the background. Anyway, the plot of the anime is these two girls try to get to school, but one of them has the powers of Superman. What is going on is a massive alien invasion of millions of ships bombing the Earth. The Earth military fighting them, and the Earth military has all these mecha and stuff, but that's not the point. The point is these two girls trying to get to school, and the one with the Superman powers gets so pissed off that she starts throwing buildings into the alien ships so that she can get to school because they're trying to stop her by bombing Tokyo. So let's take this back to Dresden. What I mean by that is that our main game had all of these big, heroic, life-changing, very obvious stuff going on, but our inspector's game was about a group of schlubs. I mean, they're a group of real wannabes.
They're just trying to get to school.
Yeah, they're just trying to get to school. They are paranormal investigators, and all of this crazy shit that should have their complete, total attention is there in the background. They don't deal with it. I never tell them not to deal with it, but they don't deal with it. But it's there. It's part of the backdrop.
Yeah, if I was to use that anime as you described
right.
it, I've not seen this, but as you described what it, what it actually kind of reminded me of is the role-playing game Necessary mm-hmm. Evil.
Yeah.
Because the setup of Necessary Evil is that aliens invade the Earth, and all the heroes, Justice League, Avengers, mm-hmm. and whatever, they get together, go and fight them, and get wiped out. And so all that's left is the supervillains. And I think you could describe that anime within the context. Let's imagine it's a Necessary Evil game. The main game that you're playing, the big, serious, ongoing campaign.
The game is or the anime is called Project Aiko.
Oh, Project. Okay, that's a
yeah.
older one.
Oh, it is really old.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But if we imagine this as a Necessary Evil game, the main campaign is about the Earth military maybe working yeah. with some supervillains to try and fight these aliens. And that's the one where you need everybody there and involved and serious. There's all yeah. this detailed stuff going on. And
the sub game is about Captain Boomerang trying to break into a bank to steal boomerangs.
Well, it's about, I mean, honestly, what it reminded me of is from the New 52. It's Power Girl and Huntress from Earth yeah. 2 trying to get to school.
Right.
And
there's all this
during the alien invasion. Right. They're not dealing with the alien invasion. Mm-hmm. It's just this silly side story,
yeah.
but it still is occurring. And so if in the main plot you have something about, well, we're about to build the giant Scorpio mm-hmm. cannon
yeah.
that's this guy's been trying to build for decades anyway, and Superman keeps stopping him. But Superman's dead now because of the aliens. Now we're building it with the U.S. military to shoot down the fleet. And that's getting built in the background of these two girls trying to get to school. And so that never leaves the player's mind. Yeah. You know, they still have, they're being.
It serves two purposes. One, it keeps the momentum going. But two, it's also really funny. And that's the whole thing, is because you have the contrast makes the humor. That you see all this stuff in the background that the B team is totally ignoring.
Well, and I think it's a great opportunity for the Game Master, because the Game Master gets a chance to really play around in the world, to do things that don't have to be serious, to try tweaking things or revealing little side things, the B side type material, just to see what sticks. And if the Game Master's paying attention, what the players are doing in this game may tell you a lot about their interests. If somebody else is game mastering it, you really start to get their understanding of what they think is going on in the world.
One of my other ground rules was the two team, we'll call them an A team and a B team. B team's the comedy one. A team is the main plot. The A team and the B team never meet. They never, ever, ever encounter each other. While we're doing the contrasting thing, and while we're set in the same universe and same city and same game, it's different tracks. It's different genres. One is a drama that has some comedy elements and some romance and is really epic, and the other is pure comedy. So when the two meet, they don't blend well, and it's cheesy. But the members of the A team and B team see the effects that both teams make. Now, how we did this in Dresden is, of course, again, with the background and the contrast and stuff. So we know how the B team sees the A team. They don't know them, but they see the effects, the ripples they cause in the world. The A team has a favorite TV show, and it's called Dark St. Louis. And it is a cable access, 3 o'clock in the morning TV show about paranormal happenings in St. Louis.
Hosted by Robert Stack.
No. Hosted by...
Not interested.
It is completely... Like, they don't get it, right? The TV show has no clue that any of the real magical stuff exists, and they're chasing around all of the crazy, stupid, paranormal stuff. When the A-Team watches this... So Wayne would go in chapters, and he would usually open a chapter or close a chapter with the entirety of the A team at someone's house at 3 o'clock in the morning with pizza.
What do you mean in someone's house?
Well, at your house. It's always at your house. The only one who always has money.
That's true.
And we would be watching Dark St. Louis, and then Wayne would play out the scene of our B team characters being interviewed as the whack jobs that they are.
And wow, that's fantastic.
We would even play out our characters acting out an interview for the A team. Through the TV. It was so meta and so amazing.
Yeah, and I think you can certainly do that. Make a lot of callbacks either direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So long
but
as it's
never
not...
direct connection. I never think that would work.
Right. Well, and once again, I mean, if they're part of the reason you're doing this is because of the fact that something's already gone wrong with the A-team game, then you don't want to forward the plot there. You don't want to start integrating it because you're doing the B team game because something's already wrong with the A team game.
And like you said, you know, I was thinking when you're saying, you know, there's something wrong with the A team game, that's absolutely right. But wrong is not an off on switch, right? Wrong, something's going wrong does not mean the game is trashed. You know, maybe you need to let it cool down for a bit. Maybe the game got really dramatic and really serious and everyone's like, whoa, and they're all spun up and man, my character's really dead. I don't know if this character's going to survive. And the Game Master's like, okay, we're going to start a new chapter. And I really left you guys on a big cliffhanger and everyone's all spun up. Let's decompress. Let's do a session where we just have some crazy fun with the B team. Or maybe, again, the Game Master is like, okay, guys, I've been running this high intensity game for 6 months now. I really need to play. I really need to not run this so I can kind of recharge the mental batteries and then continue on the plot. So I think that it's a really good idea. Like you said, when something's going wrong, sometimes the fix for a game going wrong is to just kind of take your hands off of it for a little bit, but we still want to continue the momentum of the game. Another one of my ground rules too is, remember in the Dresden example, Wayne ran the game. That was his game. Nobody else ran that game.
Right.
Dresden game had a lot of different chefs in the pot. You know, there's a lot of us running it. So Wayne even ran it. I ran it. Beth ran. I think Dawn might have run one. I don't remember. We were all running it. So when you have a big city that you're running in, where a big city is the setting or a bit large space is the setting, there's a lot of undeveloped areas, right? So when you go to those areas, suddenly they're developed. You're exploring them. You're thinking about them. As a game master, when you ran a B-team game and you developed an area that wasn't touched by the Dresden A-team game, you handed that area over to Wayne so he could use it. An example would be there was a high school, a specific high school that really existed in St. Louis. And I think it was Cleveland High School. Yeah, it was Cleveland High School because that's where my dad went to high school. That's why I used it in the game. But Cleveland High School is a very, very old high school. It's ROTC, I think, now. And it was never touched. Wayne never did anything with it. Probably didn't even know it existed. The only reason I knew it existed is because of my dad. In the B-team game, I made Cleveland High School the setting for a haunted happening. The principal of Cleveland High hired our schlubs to go and figure out what was going on in the high school. It was haunted. And so they had this adventure in the middle of the night in this haunted high school. So we did it. We wrapped it up. It was done. And because these guys are completely incompetent, the high school is still, of course, really haunted and they didn't really change anything. So the high school gets handed over to Wayne. I don't think Wayne actually ever did anything with it, but now Wayne can use it. If he needed a haunted establishment, he has one now. Suddenly it got developed and it's there. It's a tool in his toolbox if needed.
But see, that usually didn't happen with that group because right. Most of the time there's nothing to hand over.
No, we burn it to the ground.
Our philosophy for B-team was blow it up
yes.
And burn it to the ground.
Yep.
That's how we solved most all of our yeah. issues.
these ashes aren't haunted yeah. now. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Haunted house.
Well,
kill it with fire.
Yeah. Why not? Using real St. Louis history, it worked with Coke Hospital.
I know, right? You know, fire was kind of our play
yeah.
for the B team.
Yeah, Coke yeah. Hospital.
Which is very Dresden.
Right, right. Yeah. It yeah. was actually kind of our play for the A team as well. So
yeah, this is true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think as far as like ground rules, that was it. I mean, it's the purpose is the two games mingle but never touch. The game master shouldn't be running it, although he did because he was really getting into it. Keep momentum going. Use them as a contrast, but make the A team's game a bigger contrast. Make the B team's game minor Easter eggs or hints.
Did you ever feel like you were running the risk of the B team game taking precedence and being the more important game than the A team game?
Because of,
or even if not more important, simply the more enjoyable game.
Right. And I guess I should probably have phrased this differently. Yeah. The game that actually harnesses and steals the momentum of the play.
Well, I certainly did.
It becomes the new shiny.
I can see how that could happen easily with this example that we're giving, but in our game, no, it didn't. I mean, it simply didn't. And that was just a testament to how much we love the regular Dresden game. That's maybe another good point of thought if you're going to try to do something like this. You know, if you've got a game that you're maybe on the fence about and you do this, as a game master, you should probably be prepared for your players to maybe like the new game better because it's the new shiny.
Right.
So that's a...
Yeah, the competition, though, in this situation, it was not very heavy. The Dresden game, established characters, there were people who had multiple characters. There were people who had multiple NPCs that they made to attach to their character to give to Wayne for him to use. Plots were multi-chaptered, layered, consistent NPCs. Life-changing events happened. Characters evolved and changed over time. The Sweat Lodge was amazing. Characters evolved and changed over time. Characters died. It was a really deep, interesting, I don't want to say was, is a really deep and interesting game.
We
have to wait for Jim Butcher to write another Dresden book. That's what spurs Wayne to run these games.
There you go.
He writes a Dresden book, Wayne reads it, and he's like, oh my God, I have ideas.
So
thank God, faster than Martin.
But the B team games were one shot, inconsistent, populated by really not very capable people.
And you've got to go into it knowing what it is exactly.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be very upfront.
Oh, I
say,
totally laid this all this is out.
Yeah, and we did. And we all, the total group had buy-in of, yes, this is a one-shot, blow off some steam, fun game, what it is. It's not, and, it's, and it never was. I think they were all one-shots. Maybe some of the rotating people, it might have carried over an additional week. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But pretty much it's like, this is just
the one plot line of the Dresden game was like reading a book that went on and on. The B team game was like an episode of Cheers. It was great.
Yeah.
One episode that had nothing to do with any of the other episodes.
So were there obvious pitfalls that you noticed that you fell into or that you avoided? You know, any other advice?
No, we were great. It was awesome. And I can say that honestly.
You know, I mean, think we did.
It went very well.
That is an interesting question that may merit maybe not a full episode, but a follow-up on this. Is life being what it is?
Yeah.
When something goes wrong, I'd love to hear what that pitfall was so we can tack that on to the advice we're giving of, okay, here's where it went off the rails or came close to going off the rails. That said, I'm certainly glad to hear that so far it has served its purpose without having any significant potholes.
Well, I think the big part of that, though, too, is like what Chad said in the very beginning that you might have forgotten by this point in listening to the episode is that it was a different setting. I'm sorry, it was a different system.
Yeah.
We were totally not using the Dresden Files rules. We were playing inspectors in the Dresden Files universe as the backdrop, but we were not playing Dresden. Okay, so that's a huge thing. So we're not. So that's why. That's one. I mean, inspectors is relatively easy for things to go. I mean, things can go spectacularly bad, but that's kind of the fun of it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's I think why you're doing. You know, it's a different system and it's made for that way. So it caters to that very well.
Yeah.
If we were trying to play the same thing to the Dresden rules, whole other ball game.
Nope.
Wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have worked at all.
Yeah. We would have had to put. This is going to sound counterintuitive. If we would have done this in Fate, if we would have done our B game in Fate, which is the Dresden system, we would have had to think about and put too much thought into our characters.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had to invest too much of ourselves into these silly characters. The example, too, is my character. I've gone on about him in the past. He was a bridge troll, and his father was a Fae in the summer court, and his mother was an insane woman. And, you know, they had a kid, and at age 13, he kind of became a troll, and there was like all these problems. And the character was mean but loyal. He was a troll. He's mean but loyal. But he was also very internally conflicted, and he was really deeply, deeply sad, even though externally he was the joker and the happy guy, made you laugh and sort of stuff. But internally, when the other characters started digging deep in him, he was really a tragic, sad character.
I have no idea what that's like.
that nothing ever went right for. So, but
irony.
So my other character in the B game was an old guy, and he was a guy who, now this is Dresden universe. Magic is real, but nobody knows about it. He was James Randi guy. He wrote books debunking magic, debunking mystic thought and all this sort of stuff. He was a total rationalist, right? And he was famous. He was a famous author writing all these books until something happened to him that involved magic. And he became a believer. But he still needed to make money, so he still kept writing books about debunking magic. But he also joined this paranormal investigators group with Pat's character. Now, Pat, in the Dresden game, you were playing this 200-year-old or 150-year-old guy who had like given his service over to this immortal goddess who granted him immortality, but he has to serve her. And it was, you know, he lived for all these years and all these people died, you know, they die of old age, he has no friends, and you know, it's a sort of tragic character, but you weren't really depressed about it, and it's difficult for you to open up to people and stuff. It's a very interesting character. But tell us about your B team character.
Well, so my B team character was a super fan of Supernatural. So
the TV show,
the show Supernatural, to the point where my character bought one of the cars that was actually used on the Supernatural show. So they bought, because they've got like, I think there's like 12 or 13 of them. There's very many models that they use for that car. So he bought one, has that car with everything in the trunk too. He got the stuff that's in the trunk. He bought Dean's outfit and he wears Dean's outfit. So he's basically Dean in the Supernatural car as
doesn't care one lick about any actual real paranormal stuff, except he's a Dean super fan who fights Supernatural stuff and he's trying to emulate him in real life.
So I'm a hunter.
Yeah. So he's basically just a guy with a restraining order.
Yes, absolutely.
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's awesome.
But to roll it back, you know, were there any pitfalls? The contrast between the two games was so huge that it would take a concerted effort to fall into a pit.
Right, because the mood of each game are so divergent. Yes. Right.
Yes, by design. Mm-hmm. And that really, really worked well for us because the whole point was to blow off steam, be a lighter game, make sure the golden goose still produces the golden egg and, you know, keep it going, keep the momentum going.
See, now I'm curious, and it's a topic for another show, but now I'm thinking, do I want to run one-shots with pre-generated characters in my current campaign that then the results of that, you know, whether it impacts the further storyline or whether it just gives the PCs or the players at the table the opportunity to experience the world from a different perspective. But that's a whole
You could do something kind of silly and one-off like that. Like next week, a couple people are going to be out. So whoever shows up, you guys know that bunch of guards you killed last game. We're going to play their lives in the 2 days leading up to that moment. And the game session will end with you getting killed by the party.
I think that's fun.
And there you go. You get to see the inside of the evil organization. Yeah. And
that would be hilarious.
And suddenly feel really guilty about these.
Man, only 2 days to retirement. I'm totally playing that guy. You know, another great way to do this, too, is if you're playing a superhero campaign. You're playing some epic, gigantic, and then you could play the sidekicks who always get left behind. Or you could play, you know how there's like Superman never goes down to street level. He never did. Like you could play those two. You could play superheroes, but they don't really have, they can't fly. They don't have like keto vision or whatever, but they can stop a mugger.
Yeah.
But the main game is Superman dealing with Darkseid.
Ant-Man, Lois Lane getting coffee.
Right.
That's the game.
Yeah.
You know, one potential pitfall we did come up with while we were kicking this around is you do want to be careful that game B isn't somehow destructive to the feel of game A. Let's say, for example, that game A, it's not just a serious and structured game, but it's meant to be like a really deep Lovecraftian psychological horror game.
Yeah.
Kicking over to do Inspectors in that same universe, it might be a great tangent to blow off steam, or it could change up the world in such a way that you never see the first world the same way again. The example comes to my mind is there have been several times I've watched a movie and then watched the making of, and it destroys the movie for me. Because now every time they show something that before was completely convincing to me, it's no longer convincing.
Yeah.
I see all the zippers and wires and stand-ins and whatever else was going on. And so I think you do need to be careful because I can come up with a handful of games where if you didn't have a really strong separation, I think the introduction of something that is shallow or is off the cuff or a bit slapstick or disorganized could theoretically torpedo the feel of the original game.
I think like Call of Cthulhu or a mythos of a serious mythos game would really be like that. I mean, you're talking about you see a skeleton and your mind starts breaking at the reality getting rended away from you of like this thing is dead and everything I knew is crumbling before me. And oh my God, that not only is the skeleton dead, it's my dead mother and, you know, oh, crap. And it's like this really serious sort of game. And then next week, one of your players, you know, eats some bad Mexican food. And so they're out And so you're like, okay, well, let's lighten things up a bit. You know, it's like, now it's Dancing Skeletons.
And the Benny Hill music's playing.
Benny Hill music. And it's just like, you know, suddenly the dead skeleton of your mother, when you come back the week after that, it's just... doesn't have that punch is gone.
It's the difference between watching the outtakes of a horror movie after the fact and them just simply interspersing it throughout the movie.
I think your A games can be too serious. I think another pit, you know, you're asking for pitfall stuff. I think that if you were doing a game that has a lot of comedy elements to it, maybe not like total comedy like Paranoia or something, but has a lot of humor and lightheartedness to it. And then your B game's like, okay, well, we're going to do something different. We're going to look at the serious side of My Little Pony. And you really, really actually do, in fact, get into the serious side of the darkness of My Little Pony, and you somehow pull it off. Suddenly the A game's not really going to be that interesting anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I don't know. I think that always when they did the, you know, the very special episode of blank, it was a standalone and it didn't detract from the funniness of the rest of the series.
Just a matter of personal preference, I would want to go from a game being the detail oriented long-term hardcore game and the B game being the slapsticky pressure release.
That's
the direction that I would prefer,
because I think that serves the purpose too,
right?
You know, again, momentum, pressure release, give the main game time to cool down, deal with any problems that are going on, people heal up, whatever.
Cool. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up here. So once again, check the show notes for a link to Google Play if you have an Android device or just don't like iTunes in general. It certainly does, as a podcaster, make me happy to have another 800-pound gorilla entering the room, because the way that we podcasters have been so beholden to iTunes for so long has been a bit stifling at times, though they have generally been benevolent dictators. But nonetheless, anyway, check the show notes for that. Everything else?
Hey, join us on Warframe on the PC.
Oh, yeah. Warframe on the PC, free-to-play game.
Clan is growing and doing things. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well if you're interested in checking out Warframe.
You know what's fun? Uranus.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say nipple blades. Nope. We need those in the show notes.
We have.
Dan and I ran around in Uranus as ninjas all last night.
We got deep inside of Uranus.
Yes.
My anus has stink gnomes, according to my wife.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Come join us in Warframe. Find out what Uranus is all about.
Yes. Learn all about Uranus. So thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
Yeah. In Uranus.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2016. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.